You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. And by the way, I got to tell you before we go too much further about etaxbreaks.com. These folks, they may have one of the best jobs I've ever heard of before, because what they do every day is go into work and call people to say, found you some money. And that's exactly what they do, literally. They call their clients and they say, look, we examined your business. We combed through over 3,000 programs around the nation, and we have found you some money. No strings attached. Literally, it's things like common sense stuff that you and I would just do to run our businesses that we think are normal, like keeping our employees through the pandemic, like hiring a veteran, like where did we put our business geographically and may not even realize it was in an area that was got a special status in the government's eyes. All said and done, these things and more qualify you for tax credits, tax incentives, grants. It's amazing. And they only get paid at e-tax breaks if they find you money. So if they don't find you anything, no harm, no foul. But literally what they do is you go to their website, you fill it out, they scan, they call you, they got you money. And in July alone, they found over $7 million for their clients in 1 month. So I'm just telling you, folks, it's out there, and it's just a matter of filling out the little form, and next thing you know, you get a phone call. So if you want to check it out, they got a special website just for our listeners. Go to etaxbreaks.com/rightside. That's etaxbreaks.com/rightside. All right, so moving on now, the third part of the Triple Dipper for the day was, who's checking those fact checkers? How do we know that when Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or any of these social media platforms is literally sort of deciding what's right and what's wrong? Who tells them what's right and what's wrong? How do they know what's right and what's wrong? It's a conundrum. And you know, here's part of the problem. Here's the thing. Here's where I wrestle. Because I'm a firm believer that private entities should have a right to a say in how to run their business. And if you don't want to use their platform, go to another one. I get that. I get that argument. It's legit. I mean, I wouldn't want somebody walking into I started several businesses and you know, I've got a law firm and I would not want somebody walking in the door telling me how to run my business. I get that. However, there are times when a business grows beyond its business entity status, when it becomes so big that it is a part of the fabric of the culture and it becomes, in essence, a monopoly. If you remember back in the day, those of us, okay, now I'm going to date myself. Kelsey, hey, grab the mic, Kelsey. Let me ask you a question.
What's up, Phil?
Did you grow up having an actual wired-in phone in your house?
No.
You did not.
No,
at
we didn't.
All.
No.
See, that's the thing. There's a whole generation. So you've never had to deal with things like a party line phone. You know what a party line phone is?
I don't even know what that is, Phil.
So a party line phone is back in the day. I mean, like way back, like when I was a kid, there were some places that were still somewhat remote, and the neighbors had to share a phone line, and it was called a party line. And it rang one way in one house, and it rang a different way in the other house. And sometimes you'd pick up the phone to make a phone call. You'd have to wait for, you know, Susie from next door to finish talking to her boyfriend. So that's a party line phone. Crazy, I know.
Well, I got to learn something today.
There you go. All right, you've now been edumacated right here on Right Side Radio. All that to say, all right, folks. So what I was getting to, my point there, I had a total aside there with Kelsey, is that you may remember that back in the day, Bell Telephone. It was called Ma Bell. It was Ma Bell because Ma Bell was so big, it was like everybody's mother. Ma Bell ran all of the phones in the nation. And it got to the point that it was such a monopoly. There was no way to make a phone call, and phone calls became part of the fabric of society. I mean, if you're going to call your neighbor, if you're going to call an ambulance, if you're going to call for a matter of business, if you're going to call for anything, you had to go through Ma Bell. Well, at some point, it began to be, you know, it began to be seen that monopoly becomes a bit harmful because they are the public square. They are a private entity, but the public cannot do without them. Are we there right now with social media? I don't know. But I do know this. Statistics show that somewhere in the neighborhood of 70% of all adults, 70% of all adults in the United States get their news from either Twitter or Facebook. That's amazing. It does not mean they don't read the articles. It means they find the stories through their social media platforms. And so when you become so big that 70% of the nation relies upon your platform to tell them what is news, well, that means sort of like that old song by John Mayer. He has a line in one of his songs that says, when you own the information, you can bend it all you want. And that happens. And you know it does. Conservatives have been crying out about this for a while now. It was amazing to watch, especially during the 2020 election season, when the laptop from hell, Hunter Biden's laptop, was literally blocked. New York Post had their page taken down by Twitter so that no one could see anything about the Hunter Biden laptop. And it's real. It's not fake. It wasn't Russia collusion. It's legit. God. And then, of course, there's the fact that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, doesn't matter whether you like him, he's the president of the United States. And everybody knew that every media outlet in the world watched his Twitter feed to see what he was going to say, because it was the unvarnished, unfiltered Donald Trump. Sometimes you'd think, oh, man, he got up at 3 a.m, got a burr under his saddle, and said something before his press secretary came in. And you knew the press secretary had to catch up when she got to work with what happened on his Twitter feed. Well, then they took President Trump completely off of Twitter. Why is that okay? It's not okay. Because what happens then is you realize, wait a minute. So the Ayatollah who calls for death to Israel and death to the United States still has a Twitter account. But the president of the free world, whether you like him or not, cannot have a Twitter account? Okay, then you get to the point that you realize, okay, they're so big that they are now, in essence, the new public square. They are, beyond being a private entity, they are the medium by which we rely upon for the transfer of information in our society. And then on top of that, you've got the fact that they treat people differently based upon some unknown standard. Why is the Ayatollah allowed to call for death to a nation that is one of our allies, a free society in the Middle East called Israel? Why is Ayatollah allowed to do that and maintain his Twitter account, and yet the president of the United States can't say something about his opponent or about a law or about anything else for that matter without having his platform taken down? That's crap. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So right now, the thing that caught my eye today and got me to thinking about doing a section on who checks the fact checkers is I was looking at the news this morning, and I've discovered this platform called Neon Nettle. Neon Nettle brings in news that you don't always see in other places. Story dated yesterday is titled Wikipedia considers removing entries on mass killings under communism due to, quote, bias. What? So you don't want to talk about mass killings, which, by the way, mass killings, I mean, in Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge had what they called the killing fields, where there were so many bodies that basically they littered the ground. And so Wikipedia is considering removing one of the entries on Wikipedia because it has claims that, now, by the way, Wikipedia, if you think for a second that Wikipedia is a true source of information that should be relied upon for reference in your next term paper, think again. All right. But nonetheless, it's supposed to be a platform that gives facts. And you got one of their editors is criticizing decisions that are being made right now to remove references to Chairman Mao and Stalin and Pol Pot and Kim Jong-il for anything related to mass killings because it contains what he calls an anti-communist viewpoint. Well, yeah, how about that? How about they killed a whole bunch of people? Why not tell the world? Maybe we should stop talking about, you know, the genocide of the Jews in World War II because that might reflect badly on Nazis. No, it doesn't work that way. And when I saw this, I thought, all right, I got a segment for today. We're going to be talking about who checks the fact checkers. When I get back from this, we got a short break we're going to take right now. Kelsey, you can move us to it. When I get back from this break, I've got an article that was written by John Stossel on townhall.com. And he tells us who some of the fact checkers are. And then I'll tell you about what's happening over at Twitter. Did you know that the hippie who runs Twitter, Jack Dorsey, the guy who looks like a combination of Rasputin and some kind of a surfer dude, that he just resigned and they've got a new guy in there who has some pretty questionable tweets himself. Why is that okay? Well, we'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. It is almost 4:30, almost there. You're almost down to the wire now, those of you that go home at 5 o'clock. And I'm just telling you right now, it's 4:24 p.m. Some of y'all are already thinking, okay, I am getting my car keys. I get my briefcase. If those of you who are briefcase packing up the laptop, did I pick up my cell phone? All the stuff, right? You're getting ready to walk out the door, grab the car, and hit the traffic. And you may be thinking, what am I doing for dinner? Well, let me just suggest something to you. A place in town in both Madison and in Huntsville that you can get breakfast, lunch, dinner. You can have an amazing cup of coffee. You might even want to stop there on the way into work tomorrow morning and get some waffles or maybe a womelet in a macchiato or a latte or a cappuccino or just a shot of espresso or just a good old cup of black coffee. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe with two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison and the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Has an amazing menu, has an amazing selection of brews, cold and hot, and has great, great ground coffee. They can do it pour over style. They can do it just a regular brew. Listen, I love that place. I have been to both locations, eaten at both locations. And I'm just telling you right now, Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Check them out. Hughes Road in Madison. South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. All right, I'm on a section right now in the Triple Dipper where I said, who's checking the fact checkers? Well, there's a story on townhall.com, actually a story. I say it's an op-ed written by John Stossel. You know John Stossel. He's more of a libertarian, John Stossel is. One minute he'll be talking about, let's do things that I would never want, and the next thing you know, he's right on par with me. And then he sounds liberal, and then I don't, you know. Anyway, bottom line is John Stossel, though, he does provoke conversation. And he starts off by, his whole thing is called Fact Blockers. And he starts off by saying, I've reported how Facebook censors me. He says, now I've learned they've also censored environmentalists, and he names some people. An environmentalist, a statistician, and a New York Times columnist. He said, fact checkers at Facebook claim that we spread, quote, misinformation. That's the latest parlance, by the way, and me talking here. That's the latest parlance from tech world. It's misinformation. We can't have misinformation. Well, Facebook doesn't do it censoring alone, John Stossel points out. He did a little research. I did not know this. He said Facebook partners with groups approved by something called the Poynter, P-O-Y-N-T-E-R, the Poynter Institute. I'd never heard of them before. But he says that Facebook partners with groups that are approved for them by the Poynter Institute, a group that claims that it has a, quote, commitment to nonpartisanship. Really? But then John Stossel points out, but Poynter isn't nonpartisan. Poynter produces or promotes progressive jargon like decolonizing the media and praises left-leaning journalists and once even proposed blacklisting conservative news sites. So that's who approves the third-party censors that Facebook uses to figure out whether or not you should get blocked. I mean, how many of you have seen on your own social media where you go to a story and it doesn't look harmful at all, but now Twitter has this new thing. Do you want to read the story first? Well, if I wanted to read the story first, I would have clicked on it. Maybe I want to hit like because I like the comment that was made about the story. Leave me alone, Twitter. Or have you ever gone to Facebook and found that the story that you wanted to read, which was attached to someone's post, is now blocked with a little disclaimer that says, this story is being screened because of potential harmful language or something like that, or misinformation? It's amazing what they get away with. And now we're finding out that Facebook uses the Poynter Institute to help them select groups that will help them to do their censoring. And he goes on to talk about the fact that Facebook labels things false a lot of times. And one of the groups that was appointed by the Poynter Institute is called Science Feedback. That's the name of the group. Science Feedback. We are Science Feedback. And they're a sloppy fact checker. You know, the Science Feedback will recommending blocking someone who doesn't agree with climate change. Science Feedback will recommend blocking someone who doesn't believe that two-year-olds should have to be masked in the pandemic. I'm just telling you, he's talking about the fact, and he says it, his closing line is this: Facebook and its censors are now the enemy of open debate. That's where we are on social media. Now, I've got a bunch of stuff here that relates to Twitter, and then a thing called Section 230. You guys, y'all need to know about this, because Section 230, I've got one very liberal article written by somebody on The Bulwark, which is a liberal bastion of opinion. But the Bulwark writer seems to believe that it's only conservatives who get mad at the fact that there are protections in the law, supposed protections for social media. They're ignoring the fact that Joe Biden, President Biden, has been screaming for reforms to social media because he thinks that misinformation about his COVID vaccine mandate is getting out there. Yeah. Well, we come back, I'll fill you in on that. And if you want to call in, you're welcome to it. 866-494-9866. We're heading into a break right now, and I know it. 866-494-9866. If you want to call in, talk about any of the above, I'm glad of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We got plenty more where that came from. We got a half hour of doings left to do, and we'll be right back.